Jesus, we come in that name. Oh, that wondrous name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the name. Thank you for him. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Lord, thank you that we come accepted. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, now the sons of God. Lord, thanking you for this wondrous truth and God, the faith that you've given for us to believe it. And Lord, as we hear it and abide in it and believe it, we're transformed from glory to glory into your very image. And Lord, thank you that we're growing up and we're growing up together, praise the Lord. We're hearing the truth, tightly fit and compacted, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've separated us out to you, God. This is a holy calling. And thank you, Lord, that this is a sanctified walk, not something that man would think in self-righteousness, Lord God, but, oh, Jesus, the righteousness of God, which is only by Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you again. May we only be found in grace alone. May it only be your grace that we magnify. May it only be the mercy of the Lord that we give praise for. We thank you again for this day. We thank you for your truth. Lord, work it effectually in us. Cause us to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going back today to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the Lord's just been so encouraging my heart in these final words of Paul to this precious brother. This is to us, brothers and sisters. And what this is these final words of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus to those that were still believing it. This was to those saints, and there was just a handful of them that were still believing and loving Paul's gospel. These are the final words, and I love this first encouragement truly in a sense here in this first chapter of 2 Timothy in verse 6. Paul speaking to us at this moment. This moment, praise God, that we're at. The coming of the Lord is upon us. There is a falling away. There is a famine for the word of God. Men and women are not enduring sound doctrine. God help us to understand, but for the grace of God, there go I. And I need to hear and receive this word. Hallelujah. As brother said, all of these things that we go through, all of these trials, praise the Lord, are to prove the love of Christ in us, to prove his faithfulness in us, to prove, praise God, that his grace is sufficient for us to stand and withstand and having an all to stand and to not fear and to endure hardness as good soldiers. And here's what Paul tells him in verse 6. Timothy, put your name there. I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now we know what this is. I thank the Lord that I know what this is even personally. It doesn't mean that you have to have somebody's hands upon you receiving the Holy Ghost, because that's what this is speaking of, and we'll get right to it in just a moment again. But I thank God the Lord began to deal with my heart 9, 10 years old about receiving the Holy Ghost. And I knew there was something, and I'm thankful for the word of his grace that even a 9-year-old can receive, even a 10-year-old can receive. And that wonderful encouragement upon my heart, I knew Jesus loved me, and I knew he wanted to love me even more, but I had to receive something for him, from him, I should say, for him to show me this love and teach me this love. I had Sunday school teachers that opened up the word of God and weren't afraid to preach to a child the things of God, to tell them what they needed and to encourage them that they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord I heard those things. I thank God I heard my mother praying in the Spirit at home, daily, worshiping God, tears, thanking him, just rejoicing, overwhelmed because she didn't have words to express her thankfulness to God. Thanks be to God for the power of his might and this love language, hallelujah, that we can have to speak the very mysteries of God to the Father. And so there I was, and the Lord began to convict my heart. And I went down to pray here at the altar, right here. And then up at camp, a couple years went by. It didn't seem to hit me right away. God had a plan in it. But I was 12 years old, and I remember very divinely up there at Glacier View Camp, and I was there at that altar, and I was praying and saying, Jesus, just fill me. I know I need this. I want to be filled. I want to receive this wondrous gift. I love you so. My heart is wrenched every time I think of you. You've been upon me since I've been a baby. I know you. And I was so thankful. Praying, I felt this hand, this warmth just hit me, and bam! Oh, I broke forth in a language I never knew. I broke forth in the tongue that I just gave over to him, and here came that language, so powerful, abundant, free, praising him and thanking him and just going on and on and on. And thanks be to God, I'm grateful for his grace to be encouraged to have that always and to continue in it always. Once you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Just allow that to be part of the fullness. And I mean that as part of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Came to find out later as I came to that night, the brother who came down to pray with me and put his hand upon me was Jerry Tabor. And Jerry had never prayed with me before, never sought the Lord with me before, anything, but God drew him to me. And God had him to divinely lay his hand upon me in faith to pray for this young boy to receive the Holy Ghost. And I did. And I thank God for that. But this is what this is speaking of. This is exactly what this is speaking of. Paul is reminding, going over to Acts chapter 8. We need to remind ourselves in the Word of God. We need to encourage ourselves in these things over and over and over, lest at any time we should let them slip. That it becomes more convenient to just go with things that we don't have to stand for. God forbid we'd go that way. Let me tell you something. You never want to regret that you didn't stand for the things of God in your home. You don't want to face that. Acts chapter 8, verse 15. I love this. Let's go to 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who when they went came down. They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So they believed the Lord. They were saved, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Then laid they their hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. All right, going over to chapter 19. Here it is again. And here we speak of Paul specifically in this same context. And Paul, it says in verse 1, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. So thanks be to God, he found men that loved the word of God. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They believed the word of God. They hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Isn't that novel? And it isn't novel. It's the word of God. Just believe it. And they said unto him, we have not as much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, them were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. They only knew that baptism of repentance. But they still were looking for that blood, you see. And then Paul said unto them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So thanks be to God, that was encouraged and corrected in that they saw that the Lamb, praise God, the Lamb of God, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus had come. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And look what happened. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, here we go, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Isn't that beautiful? Going on back here, this is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and this kind of seals it all right here in chapter 10 of Acts, again, going from verse 44. I'd encourage you to write these verses down, to have them with you, and to be encouraged when there's witnessing that might be available to you, to be able to go to these precious scriptures. And in chapter 10 of verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word of God. See, you want the Holy Ghost to fall on you? hear the word of God. Just believe the word of God. Hear the word of God. Don't hear what a denomination says. Don't hear what your family's told you. Hear the word of God. And then if the denomination or the family told you right, thank God for it. But hear the word of God. Now, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, listen to this, also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Very, very important. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what happened when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost? In verse 46, it tells you what happens when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise God. Amen. All right? That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise God, will always have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. That's what Joel spoke of, all of these different ones. I thank the Lord that we know this here. I thank the Lord that we can stand upon the word of God. And it's not to stand in something, well, I know this, and to have some type of an attitude. It's the word of God. Be thankful for it. Be thankful. Praise be to God that we are in this time that the Lord said to us even a better thing, exceeding great and precious promises. That we live in this time, praise God, that Jesus said, I must go to send the Comforter. He's with you, but he shall be in you. If I don't go, I can't send him. This is this plan. This is the plan of the church age. This is the plan of the bride that Precious Bob sang about here today. That this is this message. This is this proposal that it takes the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost to truly allow you to have an ear to hear it, to have a heart that can receive it, to grow up fully, to appreciate, understand, and believe, yea, the deep things of God, which Christ Jesus will have a wife that will rule and reign jointly together with him and be glorified together with him. It's tremendous. It was never preached in the Word of God until that mystery was given to Paul. That mystery wasn't given to Paul till previously the Lord had sent the Holy Ghost, praise God, the Comforter that had been with them to fill them. That was earlier before Paul came to bring this message. Amen. It was impossible to receive it without the Holy Ghost. And as the Lord told those disciples, you need him. And once he's in you, you'll be led into all truth. Jesus said, I had many things to say unto you. Praise God, there was more of this wondrous word to come forth that we would receive. Amen. There was a chosen vessel unto God, the Apostle Paul, that would be coming. Isn't that something? That one who is a Christian killer on the road to Damascus, that's my man, I'm going to get him. And he got him. And he gave him this mystery. He gave him this message. He gave him the proposal. The proposal, praise the Lord, that Jesus Christ will have a wife. So here we are enjoying this. And this is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise be to God, will have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to make sure that you understand this. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go and read 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, it's not called the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's called the gift of tongues. Amen. And if you read in 1 Corinthians 14, that precious gift is mentioned along with the other gifts that are to the church. See, the gift of the Holy Ghost is to the individual. That's for the individual. That's for the infilling to the individual to grow up and to grow up into him in all things. To be able to understand all truth. Amen? Now, the gift of tongues, all right, in 1 Corinthians 14, is the gift to the church. And you'll see that about the church. So it's when the church assembles together. That was that gift that would be given to them. You'll also find in 1 Corinthians 14 about that gift, it always speaks of that gift of tongues with the gift of interpretation. Because the gift of tongues has to have with it the gift of interpretation. That's what goes on here oftentimes, and we thank the Lord for it. That at the end of a service, we have someone that would have that gift of tongues. Oftentimes, it's the same vessel that will then have the gift of the interpretation. Sometimes it's the other vessel, but it's still the gift of tongues with the gift of interpretation. Throughout Acts, when it talks about the gift of the Holy Ghost, it will never say anything about the gift of the interpretation, because that's completely different. Let it just be settled. Just believe the Word of God. Understand and read the Word of God. It's very, very wondrously simple. And that wonderful gift of tongues with the gift of interpretation, isn't it a great encouragement? Yielding to God and having the evidence of His gifts, whether it is the gift of prophecy, which is going on right now, that's what this is. Prophecy isn't a fortune teller. Prophecy is preaching the Word of God. All right? And I thank the Lord for it. And we have the gift of faith. We have the gift of healing. Thanks be to God, what God has given us in this body. But it's His body. So why wouldn't He give us everything? He has, and it's all there. So by faith, let's just enjoy it. So this is what is so precious about this point with Paul speaking to Timothy, with Paul speaking to us. Praise be to God. We need to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what God is encouraging Paul to encourage Timothy with. This stirring of the Holy Ghost, yes, we'll be praying in the Spirit. Amen. The Word of God goes on to say, praying in the Holy Ghost. I thank the Lord that we come up here, we have an altar. And this altar, praise God, happens every time we get together. And I thank the Lord that we come up here and we worship the Lord together. And there's not any greater joy to my heart than to hear my brothers and sisters worshiping the Lord and worshiping the Lord in that wonderful language of the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It encourages me. It gives me strength. I was listening to my precious brother Scott. I don't mean to have him think about this now. But at the same time, just receiving that and thanking the Lord for it. And then my other brethren and my sisters and how they go off like just these Roman candles back here. I thank the Lord for it. I remember inviting some that had come in and they said, well, I never really seen anything like that. And they're Christians and I was thankful to have them in here. And they said, I just never saw, you know, people go to the altar just to worship. I've seen people go to the altar to have a healing or some type of, you know, altar call for salvation, things of that nature. That's here. Praise be to God. You know that. But we come to worship Him together. See, we want to be ready for a sound from heaven, don't we? You know that? You know that story? Do you know that that's when that time at Pentecost, that Spirit was given and it was said that there was a sound from heaven? There's going to be a sound from heaven. It's going to be the trumpet voice. And you gather together and you worship the Lord. And I thank the Lord that we worship the Lord. And I thank God that in hearing that, I know what that evidence is. I know what that is speaking mysteries unto the Father. When we come together and we worship together, I don't need to be knowing what somebody's saying. I know what they're saying. They're saying, Lord, I love you. I'm so thankful I'm full of the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Spirit that I can't help but just praise you with the tongue of men and angels. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So we're graced, brothers and sisters. We thank God for this. But Paul is encouraging Timothy in this. Paul said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. That was that wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to understand the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and I do believe that's a significant part of it. But the fullness of the Holy Ghost is going on in truth and love. See, there's folks, praise the Lord, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, but they don't want to have anything to do with Paul's gospel. They don't. They're still wondering if their salvation is secure, which is a shame. See, you need to go on in grace. And the one thing about going on in grace, if you'll truly go on in grace, you'll go on to the whole counsel of God. You'll arrive right there at the bridal message. It won't be anything but, because that's where grace will always lead you. Grace upon grace upon grace. That's why he gives us grace for grace. Amen? So see, we understand that if for some reason we're not going on in the truth, we're denying that grace that is fully given and freely given for us to grow up into him in all things. Because that's the evidence and the epitome and the pinnacle of grace that I would end my life, praise be to God, in the measure and the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ, unto a perfect man, as to a mate ready for her husband. That spouse, praise God, that he would be ready to present to himself. Honey, you get it. Hallelujah. You're it. Let's rule and reign forever together. Isn't that marvelous? But see, it's not doubting that he doesn't love me like that. And it's not doubting, praise God, that that grace isn't sufficient to do that in my life. Because that is what the actual description and evidence of God's grace really is. It's this divine, immense mercy that is so opposite of what I deserve. What I deserve, is what you deserve. And I'm telling you, and we know that, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There was none that came after him. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we can conclude exactly what we deserved. But because of God's grace and his mercy, that exact extreme opposite, so that I needed the pit and the depth of a hell because of who I was without him, that even though I was dead in my sin, he loved me. And he loved me so much, praise be to God, that he gave me his son. And he didn't just give me his son to save me. He gave me his son, praise God, to save me, justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Will I receive that from him? Will I truly just sit, praise God, in the midst of that throne with him right now? Hallelujah. By faith, I'm waiting with him. He's not doubting that he's going to take the throne as God. Do you think Jesus doubts that? No, he doesn't. Well, you know what? His wife doesn't doubt that she will take that throne with him either. See, that's what's called faith. That's what believing God is. And it's not double-minded. It's not being tossed to and fro. And it's not compromising. I'm praying. You pray for me. I pray for you. Let me tell you something. You think you're making your life easier, compromising the things of the truth? You're not. You may think that you're getting by. You don't want that. You do not want to face that abyss, that sadness, brothers and sisters. I don't want to go through my life and at the end knowing I missed it. I want to go through my life. I'm so glad he did it. I'm so thankful. Praise be to God. Praise be to God that I endured this. And you know what? It is a separation. But I'm not here to be popular to this world. My sweet family can tell you, I'm not here to be popular with my family. I love them. I was taught to love my brothers and sisters, and I do love my brothers and sisters. But the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. He's made us crazy for Jesus. And there's just one thing. There's one thing we're living for, and that is to win him. This isn't about me figuring out how to be comfortable. You know that. Naturally speaking, we could all be a lot more comfortable not being here this morning. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people with means here and different things like that. And there's a lot of people with great talents and different things like that. It's a nice day. Sun's out. You might even be able to get a bike ride in. There's no way I could be there. There's no way I could be thinking about my retirement in this home over here or something like that. Not by the grace of God. I don't want to miss it. He loves us so much. There is nothing to be compared. And I'm thankful for this life. And as Mom always said to those that would criticize her, they'd say, "Oh, Nancy, you're just living some type of a fantasy." She said, "Well, if I am, I'm a lot happier than you. But I'm telling you, I'm not. And I'm going to walk into something that my eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love him." And I'm so thankful. I see how Jesus loves me, and I'm telling you what it does. It causes you to love him. It causes you to go after him. It causes you to just thank him, appreciate your life, understand that your life is just a bunch of after effects of going after the first love. Now, Let God settle that for you. Now see, without the fullness, brothers and sisters, without this stirring of the Holy Ghost, you're going to lack, and I'll lack, the things that Paul spoke about in Romans 15. In Romans 15, it says in the 13th verse, it says, now, not someday, but now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. In believing. So we're talking about hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way believing comes. Know the word of God. So it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy, not some, and all peace in believing. See, that means you're just rock solid. It don't matter what goes on. It doesn't matter what next COVID, you know, we got Omicron. I call the next one unicorn. I don't know which one it's going to be. And I'm not making light of it. I understand these things are deadly. But do you understand you are but a breath, a step between you and death? Do you get that? Do you really, really understand that? I pray we do. I know people, they pass from lots of different things. I thank God how he keeps this meeting. But I understand too, he calls some away, like a brother Scripture, like a brother McLamb, like a sister McGuire, like a brother Hill. And on and on and on. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. Amen. Until he calls me, nothing's taken me. I have the same life. And you understand he had to give his life. He said he gave up the ghost. Well, that same life lives in me. I'm not saying I give it up. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He's the one that takes it to him. Nobody takes it from me. Nobody takes it from you. And please trust God. Now, this is so important here because it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound, what? In hope. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You want this? I want this. Well, praise be to God. I know who's got to give it to me. It's got to be the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord. And it's going to be all joy and peace. Not some, not a little bit, but all. And it comes through believing. And once again, this is this precious brother Paul. And I thank the Lord that this is what this encouragement of the Holy Ghost, this power of the Holy Ghost does in our lives. So Paul here in our text is the very thing that he expresses to Timothy. Timothy, stir up the Holy Ghost that is within you. See, without it, Timothy, you are going to remain discouraged. You're going to remain in fear. Going back to our text, you're going to remain defeated. But with it, all the power of my might is right there for you to go on. To rejoice, to be full of joy, to be full of peace, to be full of hope. And praise be to God in our text, go down to verse 13. Because here's why we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 13 of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. I've never met any saint that held fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, that wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. It can't be. You're not going to hold fast the form of sound words. You're never going to hold fast for sound words without the Holy Ghost. You can be about them, but you won't enjoy them. It won't be yours. Brothers and sisters, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of Paul. That's what it says. That thou have heard of Paul. In what? In faith. You have to believe. And love, praise be to God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now he goes on to say, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. And like on Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you, that word dwelleth, it's so beautiful. It means to cohabitate as a husband and wife. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does with Paul's gospel. That's what the Holy Ghost does with Paul's sound words. That's what he does with that. He has that dwelling, those words, that encouragement, praise be to God. It dwells and cohabitates in us as a husband and wife, doesn't it? Amen. Don't you occupy as a readied wife? Are you hoping to be a wife, or is the wife made herself ready? Once again, see, that's a past tense. It's like it's already happened. And praise be to God, that's the transformation of this. Not that I've apprehended him yet. I haven't had him to receive me to himself, but I'm trusting him. I'm believing in his grace. I'm hearing this precious word. I'm standing in these sound words. By the grace of God, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, because there is all joy and peace in believing. It doesn't mean that I don't have my times. It doesn't even mean that my mind ain't flying around even right now. But the one thing I do know, my God is able. He is faithful. He is faithful, and he has promised, I will perform the good work which I have begun in you. Think about how he said that. I will perfect that which concerns you. Think about how he says, I will perform or accomplish it in the thing that I have sent it to. How many different ways he tells us, I'll do it. You're my workmanship. You're for me. Praise be to God. I saw you in ages past, before the foundation of the world. I saw you in love. You're mine. Surrender to him and thank him. Praise him for it. Hallelujah. This is this message that by the grace of God, I pray, it just gets a hold of us. Amen. And here in verse 15, it says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Yeah, this is what we read on Wednesday night. And this is so powerful. This is so pertinent for this moment. I want you to really understand and receive this. These are the seven churches that they're speaking of, that Paul in Asia Minor, he went and spoke to, and this word came out to. At this time, they were all turning away from him. There wasn't one that was left. This was after 20 years he had preached these things to these people. His gospel was embraced by them, but they fell away from it. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that this isn't just of a time past. The word of God has no time to it. And this is speaking of this time that we live in. The word of God tells us in Romans, men will not endure sound doctrine. It tells us all throughout the word of God that they'll heap to themselves preachers having itching ears for everything else. They don't want to hear this. And think of how blessed we are, because we have the word to prepare us, to warn us, to encourage us. And especially if we do hope to attain to that church of Philadelphia. It says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. How could it be any more clear? Amen. We have this crowning gospel. We have this bridal proposal. But there's an encouragement there that you best hold it fast. Stay in those sound words, praise be to God. God showed us there's a church called Ephesus. They ran well. They had faith. They had wonderful things of the word of God. But the Lord said to them, I have one thing against thee. You've left your first love. I pray this is what we go after. This is what the Lord has encouraged our hearts to fully, fully, fully pursue. But see, this is what was so precious, brothers and sisters. This precious encouragement of Paul, this bridal message that was given to him. Hallelujah. This mystery, the riches of Christ. By the grace of God, may we endure and receive this sound doctrine. Now, I want to close this up thinking about what he was really speaking of in this stirring. Paul emphasizes this so much to win Christ because there's a power of a hidden meaning in stir up. All right. We talked about this some time ago when we studied this, and we'll hit this quickly. But how wonderful these three glorious meanings, these three glorious revelations of the Holy Ghost in our lives, what that revelation, that evidence that dwells in us through those sound words of Paul by the Holy Ghost. The word stir up is from three Greek words, ana, zoon, and pur. Ana, zoon, and pur. All right? Ana means in the midst. I want you to think about this. Ana means in the midst. Zoon means living creatures or beast. All right? The last one is pur. It means fire like lightning. Just right there. Those are the three meanings. You can go look them up. Go see. They're the three root words that make up the word stir up. Once again, we have here, in the midst, the living creatures, fire like lightning. Go on over to Revelation as we close this up. Revelation 4:6. It says right there, and here that precious company is. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne. In the midst of the throne. So there's that midst, ana. This is what the fullness of the Holy Ghost in that worship of that full joy and peace and believing will do in your heart. In the midst of the throne. What was it? And round about the throne there were four beasts full of eyes. Before and behind. So right there, the word stir up, again, in the midst, living creatures or beast. And then I love how Ezekiel saw these precious beasts or living four living ones. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 1, brothers and sisters, how glorious it is. Go on over there. And let's read verses 13 and 14 together. How beautiful this is. Ezekiel says in verse 13, as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was as like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Brethren, we just can't make this up. It's so perfect. This is what that Holy Ghost does. Do you love the deep things of God by the Holy Ghost? I believe you do. Do you love reading of His grace in you? I do. Do you love, praise God, reading of the glory that He is making you for Him? I believe we're on the track with this infilling of the Holy Ghost, aren't we? It really is too perfect and wondrous. I thank God for it. But this is where I just am so encouraged in my heart, brothers and sisters. The Lord has given this to us. Let's continue to search out the scriptures together, don't you think? Let's continue to know this because He wants you to. And as we go along, I'll just tell you, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And there will be a fullness that will be poured out to Him. And that fullness is going to be by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I love how the Word of God said that as well too, in faith and love. Did you hear that? In faith and love. I pray that there always be the faith. But once again, if I don't have the love, in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name, and we come. And Lord, we appreciate so Your wondrous word. The word of Your grace, which is building us up and giving us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Lord, I thank You how the Spirit in such a sovereign way today just reigned. And Lord, just this wondrous still small voice, but yet it also rents the rocks in two. Lord, let it rent our hearts. Let it just speak to us, God. Let us receive these things. God, help us to not wrestle with the truth. Lord, help us just to rejoice and thank you. And Lord, just to praise you. And Lord, to give me a heart that wants to search out the scriptures to see that these things are so. The revelation of the mystery of Christ in the Word of God is just wondrous. Help us to always have that attitude as a Joshua. Lord, there's more land to walk through. I want to see that truth in greater height and greater depth and greater breadth and greater length. And Lord, thank you for your ministers. Thank you for the ministering of the truth. Thank you, God, for the gifts that you've given to the church. And Lord, let us be those fiery ones. And let us love one another more and more till we see Jesus. And we thank you in your precious name, Lord. Amen.